I'm going to call to order the Industrial Education and Economic Development Finance and Policy Committee will come to order. Meeting is taking place via House Rule 10.01. Ms. Schaefel, please take the roll.
Pawlowski.
Here.
Sandel.
Here.
Keel. Keel.
Present.
Bierman.
Present.
Bliss.
Present.
Burkle.
Here.
Edelson.
Present.
Frazier.
Present.
Hamilton.
Here.
Liz Lagarde.
Present.
McDonald. McDonald. Sandsted.
Present.
Sundin.
Present.
Mr. Chair, a quorum is present.
All right, Representative Sandel, do you have a motion for us?
I do, Mr. Chair. I move that the minutes of the last meeting be adopted.
Representative Sandel moves that the minutes of the last meeting be adopted. We can vote on this by a voice vote. So if members want to unmute themselves, is there any discussion to the minutes? Anyone catch anything that we might want to change? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of Representative Sandel's motion to approve the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Motion is approved. Thank you, Representative Sandel. With that, we'll move to the first item on the agenda. This is House File 14. This is Representative Eklund's bill. This bill we will keep in the possession of the committee, and we will act on it probably several times in the course of this legislative session. So with that, I'm going to welcome Representative Eklund, if he would please identify himself for the record and then present House File 14.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. I'm State Representative Rob Eklund. House File 14 would fund the Border Broadband Grant Program with $120 million for the 2 years of the biennium. This amount is what it would take to bring service to 157,000 Minnesota households that currently do not have access to broadband internet. These figures are based on research completed by the Governor's Broadband Task Force, a group that includes industry professionals and community advocates. Our state statutes says that every Minnesotan should have an internet connection of 25 megabits per second download and 3 megabits per second upload by the year 2020. Time is running out. We need to take bold steps. Excuse me, Ms. Chair, I gotta figure out where my mouse is so I can cursor down. We need to take bold steps to complete that work and start looking to our next goal of 100 megabits per second download and 20 megabits per second upload by the year 2026. Over the last few years, you've heard me talk about the difficulties getting a strong internet connection in my own home in International Falls. I know many other House members are in the same boat. The pandemic has put a bright spotlight on the need for access to broadband internet. We have anecdotal stories of kids in McDonald's parking lots doing homework, parents trying to telecommute on too slow connection, and grandparents that must travel to see the doctor rather than staying home and using telemedicine services. It is estimated by some healthcare providers that they may be doing as much as 30% of their clinic visits by telemedicine within the next 5 years. Thankfully, this is a problem we know how to solve. Our grant program is one of the best in this nation. I'm asking that you support House File 14 so that we can bring the internet to every home in our state. Mr. Chair, we do have some testifiers.
Representative Eklund, thank you. I'm going to move to the testifiers, and then members may have questions depending on the testimony that's being presented. So the first person on my list is Angie Dickinson. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed. Oh, that's not Angie, I don't think.
That's not Angie? Good morning, Mr.
Okay, there you are.
Yes. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. We have a short presentation for you today. I'm with my colleague from the Office of Broadband Development, Diane Wells. And Owen, will you start the presentation, please? Thank you, Owen. I'll give you a next slide when I want you to advance. So again, good morning. My name is Angie Dickinson, and I am the Executive Director of the Office of Broadband Development that is located within DEED. As I mentioned, Diane Wells, my colleague at DEED, is also presenting with me today. Mr. Chair and members, thank you for dedicating this time to discuss the need for border-to-border broadband access in our state. During these extraordinary times, the need for digital equity and high-speed internet for all Minnesotans has never been more apparent. We are fortunate in our state that thanks to private and public investment, many of our communities have access to reliable high-speed internet service. And we are grateful for the commitment of our state's broadband providers who work tirelessly to keep so many of us connected during this pandemic. At the same time, we are also acutely aware of the gaps in broadband coverage in our state and the importance of continuing our work to meet our state's broadband goals. And COVID-19 has certainly intensified our sense of urgency, as so many of us need connectivity for distance learning, telemedicine, and telecommuting. Next slide, please. We'll start with an update on our progress toward Minnesota's speed goals and the need for broadband access that still exists in our state. This map depicts broadband availability at the city and township level. The red areas are townships where less than 50% of the households have access to a 25x3 service. As a reminder, in 2016, the legislature established a two-pronged state goal for broadband access. First, the legislature established a near-term goal that by no later than 2022, all Minnesota businesses and homes have access to high-speed broadband that provides a minimum download speed of at least 25 megabits per second and minimum upload speeds of at least 3 megabits per second. We are narrowing in on achieving the 2022 goal, and as of October 2020, 92% of our households have access to broadband at speeds of 25x3. As you can see, in greater Minnesota, this availability measurement drops to 83%. Next slide, please. A longer-term goal was also established that by no later than 2026, all Minnesota businesses and homes have access to at least one provider of broadband with download speeds of at least 100 megabits per second and upload speeds of at least 20 megabits per second, or 100x20. Minnesota has also made progress toward its 2026 goal, with 88% of Minnesotans having access to broadband speeds of 100x20. In our rural areas, this measurement drops to 73%. This map depicts broadband coverage at the county level, and the yellow areas highlight counties where less than 50% of the households have access to a 100x20 service. Again, although Minnesota is making progress, work remains to bring high-speed, reliable broadband access to every corner of our state. Next slide, please. Our work over the last 10 months has focused on the challenges that arose out of the pandemic. The need for broadband access and digital equity has never been more apparent. Access to telehealth services, remote learning, and telework all require access to high-speed, reliable internet service. During the COVID-19 pandemic, communities with access to high-quality broadband had better options to respond to the need for tele or remote access for everything. By contrast, communities without access to quality broadband were relegated to responding with a patchwork of temporary solutions to keep their residents connected. For far too many, sadly, this may have meant working and learning from their vehicles in a parking lot in order to access free Wi-Fi. In May of last year, the Minnesota Rural Education Association reported that nearly 31,000 rural public school students live in households that do not have broadband internet access. These rural students live in approximately 23,000 households and account for 85% of the statewide total. The report also noted that there are approximately 6,000 students in over 4,000 households in the Twin Cities metro area without broadband internet access. At the same time, in communities across Minnesota, broadband providers, both large and small, took extraordinary measures to provide connectivity, keeping folks connected by taking the FCC's Keep Americans Connected pledge and providing free or reduced cost options for families. Now, more than ever, Minnesotans realize just how essential high-speed, reliable broadband is to our everyday lives. As broadband advocates have been saying for years, broadband access isn't just nice, it's necessary. COVID-19 quickly brought into sharp relief the need for speed, both the download and the increasingly important upload speed. The pandemic also highlighted that affordability of service is a barrier for many Minnesotans, even for those living in areas where availability isn't an issue. Again, the need for broadband access and digital equity has never been more apparent. Next slide.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. As Angie indicated, I'm Diane Wells with the Office of Broadband, and I'm going to talk about some of the activities of our office. As you know, one of the primary programs administered by the Office of Broadband at DEED is the Border to Border Infrastructure Grant Program, which the legislature has funded in the past six of the past 7 years. This slide shows the location of projects and the data for the five rounds that have been awarded. As you can see, a total of $105.6 million has been appropriated and 140 projects out of 296 projects submitted have been funded. The grant program can fund up to 50% of the costs to build out these projects, so the state's $105.6 million has been matched by capital of $146.5 million. Results from round six of the program, which we're in the midst of, and that's the fiscal year 21 funding that was approved by the legislature in the 2019 session, will add $20 million to the funding total, bringing that to $125.6 million in state allocated dollars. In round six, we did receive 64 applications, bringing the total of applications received to 360 over the 6 years. The projects awarded have enabled the construction of broadband services across the state, as you can see from the map, bringing high-speed service to over 43,000 households, almost 7,000 businesses, and about 360 community anchor institutions, such as clinics, township halls, and churches. The projects funded in the first four rounds from 2014 through 2017 and shown with the blue, red, yellow, and green flags on the map, and a few of the 2019 projects shown in the purple map flags were completed or far enough along to be of great benefit to meet the needs for distance learning, telehealth, telecommuting, and the need of so many to participate in government, whether as elected officials or engaged citizens, when the pandemic hit. Next slide, please. Another responsibility of our office is to assist the Governor's Task Force on Broadband. Governor Waltz issued Executive Order 19-10 in late March of 2019 to set up the task force. Applications were sought and members appointed. Members of the task force bring a broad and diverse perspective to the topic of broadband. The task force chair is Teddy Bichelli, Senior Vice President and CTO at Land O'Lakes. Other experts on the task force represent the various types of broadband providers and the education, library, healthcare, local government, rural, tribal, and labor sectors. The first meeting of the task force was held in December of 2019, and they were able to meet face-to-face for their first three meetings. But by the scheduled late March of 2020 meeting, The task force had to move to virtual meetings just like everyone else. Despite this difficulty for a new group just beginning to know each other and work together, the group continued to meet monthly, hearing from speakers and discussing policy issues on broadband. Through a collaborative process, this group was able to create a report which includes recommendations for policymakers to consider. Deed was privileged to provide assistance to the task force. However, the work product is the task force's own, and we are working with the task force to get the report into your hands within the next week or so. Next slide, please. Many people have always understood the importance of ensuring broadband services are available to all. The legislature recognized this going back to at least 2014 when it created the Border-to-Border Broadband Infrastructure Grant Program to enable providers to make the business case to get service into some of the most expensive to serve areas of our state. The grant program was one of the first in the country and has served as a model for other states. Over the course of 2020, it has become apparent to everyone, whether you live in a rural area or an urban area, that distance learning, telework, telehealth, staying safe at home yet staying in touch, requires everyone to have broadband service. And we've learned that service needs to be adequate for multiple users in the same household to be online at the same time. It was recognized that in rural areas, the state and the country are still dealing with how to get the infrastructure out to everyone at their homes, farms, and businesses. It was also recognized that urban or rural, we still need to address how to ensure that households can afford the broadband monthly service fees. So work remains to tackle the digital divide, and our office looks forward to assisting policymakers as they take up that discussion and debate.
Mr. Chair and members,
yes.
Concludes our presentation. Again, thank you for dedicating this time to discuss the need for border-to-border broadband access in our state. We're making progress, but as you can see, work remains, and we're committed to working with you and the legislature to bring our state closer to achieving our goals. With that, we'd be happy to stand for questions.
Executive Director Dickinson, I have a question for you. Do you know the amount of money that we will be getting from the federal government in this latest stimulus package that will go to broadband and related cable issues?
The stimulus package did have a $300 million grant program that will be run through NTIA. That's a $300 million that every state will compete for, so money from that grant program hasn't been allocated to individual states. We'll know more about that funding possibility in the next few months.
Ms. Dickinson, I was told yesterday by another group that there would be a sizable allocation going to Minnesota. Do you know the amount yet that is going to Minnesota? Just to Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, I do not.
Could you, as quickly as possible, and definitely before the end of May, find out what that amount is so that we would be able to incorporate the federal impact? And I would also like to have the committee review the federal impact and where those dollars are going to go. And when you have that, we will be sure to get you back before the committee to do it. Then my next question is the amount of money that's in House File 14. How close does that get you to finishing what we had started years ago?
Mr. Chair, the task force recommendation had that funding level in it, and that amount of funding is recommended to help the state achieve its 2022 speed goals.
I don't see any other questions from the other members, but I have one last one. Can you briefly explain the use of the electric co-ops now with broadband distribution in this state? When we had the mini session in southeastern Minnesota in October of 2019, it was hosted by an electric co-op in Rushford. So can you explain how that goes across the state, not just in southeastern Minnesota, with the electric co-op?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to also defer to my colleague, Diane Wells. Diane has worked closely with those co-ops as well. but we have certainly seen success through these organizations building out in their communities. These co-ops are already providing a service in their areas, so they are familiar with the needs there. And additionally, they have infrastructure in place that helps them facilitate that deployment. Diane, would you like to add anything?
Ms. Wells?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I would just add that we have seen some co-ops, electric co-ops, engage in the provision of broadband and others not, much to the frustration of their co-op members. We have MLEC, Meeker Co-op, Roseau, My Broadband, Arrowhead, to name a few, that have decided because of economic development in their area that broadband is a priority, and they've invested in it as they increase their smart grid capabilities. But we have had other electric co-ops that have made the decision not to go into the broadband business. So it really does vary regionally across the state.
All right, I've got a question from Representative Edelson first.
Thank you, Chair. And then to Deed, I was just with the grants. I know you are going to improve speed goals. Is the also the goal to also add more, expand to more households? You said 43,000 households in the past 6 years. Sorry, I have kids. In the past 6 years, I'm just curious if the new grants that we're talking about here today would also expand on that work as well.
Ms. Wells.
Mr. Chair, Representative Edelson, I'm sorry. We have one more round of grants, round six, which is the $20 million for fiscal year 21. And when those awards are announced, they will be very similar to the previous five rounds and will increase the infrastructure that goes to homes, businesses, and farms in Minnesota.
Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Chair. That's great. Thank you.
Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Chair. One of the questions I have, I think this is vitally important to make sure we expand access across our state. It is a need as opposed to a luxury, as we may have seen it years ago. My question is, do we believe we're on track to meet, as we sit right now, do we believe we're on track to meet the goals that we have set for 2026?
Ms. Wells?
Mr. Chair and Representative Frazier, I think that goes to the question about how much funding needs to be allocated. And as you'll see when the task force report comes out, they're recommending the $120 million to help move us there. We are aware of other federal dollars through USDA, the FCC, that will also be coming into the state. This is a big priority as people have understood from the pandemic the need for broadband service. So many efforts are underway, and the state grant program will be a priority.
Representative Frazier.
That's all. Thank you.
Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Pardon my ignorance on this issue. Can you? I didn't participate in the mini session, so I wasn't familiar with the broadband being provided by electric cooperatives. Can you please describe the transmission media used in that broadband?
Representative Bliss, I'm going to go back to either Ms. Wells or Ms. Dickinson because they would have the expertise.
Oh, yeah.
So either one of them could explain that. Ms. Wells, Ms. Dickinson?
I'll defer to Ms. Dickinson because I believe she was at that mini session.
Ms. Dickinson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Bliss, a number of these co-ops are actually deploying fiber. So they are deploying a fiber network. Some of them are using fixed wireless technology as well, but a number of them are deploying fiber for their smart grids.
So it's not a new technology, it's just different providers. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, that's okay, Representative Bliss. Representative Bliss, in effect, what they're using is their infrastructure to carry the fiber. So they've got an infrastructure in place, and they're piggybacking it with this. So instead of putting in two separate pieces of infrastructure, you have one piece of infrastructure, and it's just carrying two different things.
Okay, thank you.
Part of the advantage of using the electric co-ops.
All right, thank you very much.
Representative Lizegar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, a comment and a question. To Rob, Representative Eklund, thank you so much for your commitment. You truly have been a champion of broadband and understanding the importance across the state of Minnesota. So thank you sincerely. My question, regardless if it's federal or state, and we have these grant programs, and you had mentioned that there were certain co-ops that were willing, others not willing. And same with communities across the state, whether it's by choice or by their ability to pay. And that's where I get nervous about, we talk about inequities, disparities, and stuff like that. How are you making sure that some of the communities, some of the people that are negatively affected by this not having access because of lack of funds for matching to be able to receive grants? Some communities can't even afford to put the cobble the money together to be able to apply for the grant. So how are we assuring that those communities and those people's needs are being met?
Ms. Dickinson? Or Ms. Wells?
Mr. Chair, Representative, our program gives priority consideration to unserved areas of the state, and we strongly promote and give extra points in our scoring to public-private partnerships. And that's one way that we can work with these communities that may not be able to put forward a lot of matching funds on their own, and perhaps get them to partner with broadband providers and other organizations in the community that may benefit from that new broadband infrastructure.
Representative Lizegard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess I'll go one step further. I mean, when you have these providers, it is a cost-benefit ratio, right? Capital investment rate of return. And when you're talking about rural Minnesota, it is not cost feasible for them to go to all ends of the earth because there's no rate of return. How are we ensuring that those people's needs are being met?
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we work with these communities and their broadband provider partners to make sure that they get the infrastructure in place that will meet their needs both today and in the future. And again, looking at those public-private partnerships and working with other community organizations to make sure that these projects are successful.
Representative Lizegard.
Thank you. One final question then. So, you know, there's certain places that I know that broadband's not going to go, whether provider or whether the inability of the public sector to contribute. Is there any technology versus satellite that would provide the immediate? Because my fear is the situation that we're seeing, the crisis that has awakened our eyes, is not going to go away. And are we searching for something immediate? I know right now the ultimate is to put cable in the ground. Everybody has access long term. Short term, what is our plan to make sure that these students have access to their education?
Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, in the short term, what we've observed over the last year is expanded use of hotspots and Wi-Fi to get folks connected immediately. And these are short-term solutions. In terms of the long-term solutions, our office and our state goals keep us technology neutral. And we are looking for technology that will help bring us closer to achieving our state speed goals. And so we have talked to all kinds of folks in the last year about different technology options that might be available. But again, in that short term, a lot of hotspots were deployed around the state and around the country in the last year. But I think as many folks on this committee know, there are still areas of our state where that's not a viable option for service either.
Representative Lissigard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your comments.
Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was gonna ask another question, but on this topic of how did we get broadband to people who could not in a short hurry? I'm wondering, do we have anybody, I don't see it on my list, but I didn't look real hard either. I wonder if we have anybody in the broadband industry that would explain what they did to help our schools, healthcare, what they stepped up to do in order to provide solutions immediately.
Representative Keel, we've got Dickinson Wells. There's Vince Robinson, who chairs the Minnesota Broadband Coalition. I don't know if any of them can respond directly to your question. If not, we're going to have more hearings on this. So particularly piggybacking on what the federal government's going to do, apparently there's a sizable amount of money that's going to be targeted by the federal government in this current round, and then perhaps if there's another round of stimulus. So is there anyone who's with us today that can respond to Representative Keel's question?
Mr. Chair, I could respond to briefly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative Keel, I'll just speak in general terms without identifying individual companies, but what we heard early on, in the early days of the pandemic, that some providers, where they could quickly get a connection, a new connection to a home, did that very quickly. A number of our providers worked directly with school districts, who the school districts helped them identify students who didn't have access and in their homes. And in those cases, again, for some of those providers where they could bring a connection quickly to that home, they did that safely. One company deployed broadband in a box where they delivered everything to the home that the homeowner would need to get a connection installed so that their technician didn't have to go into the home, and then talked them through doing all the connections via the phone. We had many companies, again, who did this without a lot of self-promotion, working with the school districts to identify the students who could have access in their homes, but maybe it was an affordability issue, and they offered free or reduced cost services to those folks. Other providers around the state went around their communities and put up additional Wi-Fi hotspots for folks. So I got to say, I'm really impressed with how the industry responded to the pandemic, and it'd be wonderful for them to tell those stories.
Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate that. I know my local school district worked with some broadband to be able to provide for students that either couldn't or didn't have the technology at the time. So really important. Chair Pulaski, would you mind if I ask a different direction question?
Representative Keel, you're the lead. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If the state were to invest in $120 million in broadband for the next biennium, doesn't this mean we're recommending taxpayers' funds to be spent in areas that would be served by the provider, utilizing nearly $410 million in federal funds coming to the state over the next decade? So with that, why would we spend limited state funding where the federal government is already committed to build, and providers that have been stepping up to the plate? So how do we work with all this?
Representative Keel, I'm going to respond to that one, because in the conversation I had yesterday, I have the same concerns. There's a sizable amount of money coming to Minnesota, and we're not sure exactly what the strings are with those federal dollars. That's why my first comment to Executive Director Dickinson was to begin to plan, and we're going to have a hearing on how those federal dollars are going to be dispensed. Because I think you are correct. With that much money coming into the state, it does ease our responsibility somewhat. But I would also want to know and monitor where that money is going to go and how it's going to be distributed. So you raise an excellent point. I've raised it earlier today, and now the executive director is aware of it. So at a future hearing, and I would say as soon as she has that information, we'll have a full-blown hearing on that amount of money, how it's going to be dispersed, and then how much it relieves us from responsibilities of a commitment of the $120 million or more or less. So you raise an excellent point. And I think Executive Director Dickinson is well aware of that. If she wants to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I agree with your assessment.
All right. Thank you. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, since we're talking broadband, our school children, our schools, I have just the comment that the best thing we can do as this committee is to get our kids in school. I know it's probably above our purview, but since I have the floor, we know that it is best for our students to be in school. Broadband in rural Minnesota is very weak, and it's affecting our students. They need to be in school, and the CDC knows it. Our school kids know it. Our parents know it. We know it. Again, Mr. Chair, I know it's, of course, not the, you know, crust of our discussion, but the best thing that we can do in our committee, since we're talking broadband, is to encourage our governor to get our kids back in school. That's the most important thing I think that we can do in regards to broadband, our children, and our schools. That's all I have to say about that this morning.
Okay. Thank you, Representative McDonald. I agree. I also agree, though, that this type of telecommunication and learning isn't going to go away either. And we want to make sure that everyone in the state has the same capabilities. So once this, whether it's the executive orders or the pandemic, we are still going to have a new world of telecommunication before us. So everyone has to have a fair, just like roads and bridges. We all want roads and bridges, and we all want them to be up, to have upkeep and to make sure that they're safe. We want to have the same thing with broadband. So
I completely agree with you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Did we have, who else had a question? Is there another member that had a question? Because we have two more tests. Oh, Representative Sandstead, you're
next. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to actually respond or make a comment to Representative McDonald. It goes so far beyond education in terms of broadband, especially in rural Minnesota. This is going to be a huge link to economic development. And I can speak for my district. We are impeded in terms of economic development because there are locations where there is no connectivity and a company does not want to invest. It's really no different than electric or sewer. If you did not have those utilities available, companies aren't going to invest. So this is necessary, not just for my district, but across the state of Minnesota and far beyond just education.
Members, any more questions on this? We have two more presenters. Seeing none.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald has a question.
Representative McDonald, continue.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sandstead, I just want to communicate that I recognize the importance of broadband in rural Minnesota. I'm from Wright County, just 2 miles from my house. My friends and family members have very weak broadband and hardly any internet. So I know it's very important for our business community, for our livelihoods, for telemedicine, and for our school children. But I just wanted to take the opportunity to accentuate the importance of not only the broadband, but getting our kids back in school. I had to take the opportunity. So I recognize the very importance of our broadband and expanding it for the prosperity of our country and our state. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sandstead.
No follow-up. Thank you.
All right. Next on the list is Vince Robinson. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Vince Robinson, and I'm the chair of the Minnesota Rural Broadband Coalition. As you can see on our fact sheet that you have in your packets, our coalition is made up of more than 90 organizations, and we represent a very broad cross-sector of statewide community interests made up of, you know, local governments, education, agriculture, Main Street businesses, manufacturing, healthcare, economic development, cooperatives, broadband providers, and many others. Let me begin by thanking the chair, Representative Eklund, and members of this committee for your part in securing past funding for broadband grants in our state. Because of this work, as you know, the Office of Broadband Development will be soon announcing another $20 million worth of projects that will assist some of our residents with achieving the broadband needs that they have. I'm here today, though, to ask for your support for House File 14. This would, as you know, provide another $120 million in the next biennium for the broadband grant program. We've already heard this is a premier program that was kind in the United States, and it's critical for the continued development of broadband networks in unserved areas of our state. You've also heard thousands of Minnesotans are unserved by even basic broadband connection, and we know that that is just not unacceptable in today's world. And we know the pandemic has underscored this. It's you know, I've been working at this a long time, and it's really good to hear the change in the conversation, even at this committee level, about not questioning whether we need this broadband, but figuring out how we're going to get it. And that change has occurred just in the last 5 years on attitudes of you know, what broadband will do for us. We've heard a lot about the numbers, but I want you to know that those numbers are people's lives. I mean, people are struggling out here. We need to get this broadband as quickly as possible to these people. And again, it's not just education, as you've already said. It is every sector of our lives now that is impacted by this. Healthcare, even church, religious organizations. I mean, everything that we do now is being impacted by whether or not you have adequate communication through broadband technology. So I urge you to do what you can. I know that there is some federal support coming. Maybe we could take the opportunity to not, you know, step back as a state from our obligation to assist these folks, but maybe we can leverage the federal resources to get this done much faster than maybe what we could do without it. So the $120 million does not achieve our goal. $120 million only gets us closer to that goal.
Thank you, Mr. Wright.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Members, do we have any questions? I don't see any yet, so I'm going to go to the last person, the mayor of the city of Babbitt, and I'm going to let her introduce herself and pronounce her name so that I know how to pronounce it. So, Madam Mayor, welcome to the committee. Right. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. I'm Andrea Zaponcic, mayor of the city of Babbitt. So, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee for your time today. I appreciate this opportunity. As I mentioned, I'm the mayor of Babbitt, but I'm also a real estate broker, and I'm on the board of directors for the Range Association of Realtors. Needless to say, I get the opportunity to talk to a lot of people every day, and I'm here to support this House File 14 because it'll bring much-needed investment in broadband infrastructure to our areas. As you're aware, as I've already heard from all of you, the demand for better and faster internet has exploded, and those of us here on the Iron Range are no different. COVID and all the shutdowns that went along with it have increased the demand for internet on the range. Not only are the parents working from home, but the children are doing all their schoolwork and classes online, and we have needed better speeds for years. But this just added to the strain of needing it even more to the area. As a realtor, I see the request for fast, dependable internet daily. It has become a top priority on almost all of our home buyers list. And this past year, we've seen an increase in home sales on the range, with people wanting to move up here for both work and pleasure, realizing they can work from home has made our area an attractive alternative. A very typical question I have is, what are the internet speeds at this address, or who are the internet providers? And again, not only for work, but for their children's schoolwork as well. My work alone relies heavily on internet usage, and the slow speeds here are a hindrance to the day-to-day operations in all of my offices. I have offices throughout the range in four towns. when clients are waiting for paperwork, for example, to sign because they don't want to miss out on an opportunity, it's definitely a stumbling block and a stressor to get out fast to all parties. My husband also owns a business, and they offer internet sales for their products. To succeed as a business, this is in the 21st century, you must have access to strong broadband connection, whether it's manufacturing projects, web sales, or even Zoom meetings. As a mayor, I see firsthand how many people in my community depend on broadband. Families are currently sharing broadband connections so slow that they have to take turns on Zoom meetings. Households without a strong connection are at a disadvantage to those who have one. Our schools have had to send home Wi-Fi hotspots to students, but these are only temporary solutions, unfortunately, and don't always work in every home. I've had difficulties myself at work on a Zoom call recently, and it was on my end of all things, so pretty ironic enough that I'm here speaking with you. But I'm not the only one facing these challenges. We all are, and we are hoping and wanting this change so very badly. Among all the things our communities need, I do not see this going away at all. It will continue to grow in importance in northeastern Minnesota, and we're all hoping for COVID to go away. But out of this has emerged an even greater need for high-speed capabilities. The need was always there, but it has increased tenfold from what it was. And working and learning from home will look a lot different than it has during the pandemic, but it's here to stay. So, again, I ask that you support this File 14 and the investment this bill will make in the broadband expansion of rural communities. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your time and this great opportunity.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Are there any questions from the committee? I don't see any.
Mr. Chair, I could not find my raise the hand thing for some reason. Anyway.
Your voice works fine.
Thanks. I just want to reiterate, I thank you, Mayor, and I won't attempt that last name either. Anyway, I really appreciate you speaking up. And as a rural Minnesota member on the western side of the state, I really think that your message is important and that this will really help the challenges of rural Minnesota. I know our members know this too, but it's just really, really important to rural Minnesota for economic value, even though we didn't have the pandemic certainly enhanced our needs. But I often see a lot of people that would be glad to move out in rural Minnesota and be able to walk out their back door and go hunting or fishing or whatever they would like to do, probably snowshoeing at this point in life. But anyway, how important it is that we get this done, and especially for our non-served, not served or low, it's very frustrating even as members here to be able to speak and then watch somebody lose their ability to finish their sentence. So I thank you very much for testifying. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions? I don't see any further questions. And that concludes the testimony. Members, we are going to be revisiting this topic, particularly the impact of the federal dollars that are coming in this next wave of stimulus. And under the Biden administration, there may be a subsequent wave of stimulus. So the impact of those dollars will be significant. And I want to know where those dollars are going and how they're going to be dispensed throughout the entire state. Members, next week, we're going to have a hearing on disaster aid. This hearing will encompass the ever popular Chapter 12, not so much the Chapter 12 that has been discussed extensively on the floor, but Chapters 12A and 12B, and also the disaster account. So, Representative Eklund, final comments. I'll go to Representative Eklund. Sorry about that, Representative Eklund.
That's all right, Mr. Chairman. We've this strange new world of Zoom is affecting us all sometimes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and I want to thank Mr. Robinson and Mayor Zupancic, I think I got that right, for testifying today, as well as the Office of Broadband. Ironically, Mr. Chair, members, I am sitting in a rented office. because the broadband in my house is so lousy, I don't know that I would be able to present this bill or chair my committee this afternoon. So that's why it's a passion of mine. I appreciate your indulgence of hearing the bill, and members and Mr. Chairman, members, I ask that you support House File 14 as we go forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ekman, before you leave, who's the Senate author of the bill?
Senator Bach is the chief author, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Periodically, I like to check to see who the Senate authors are so that the members of the committee know and the public also know. So we might start a little tradition here of if there is a Senate companion, who that Senate companion is being carried by, particularly in this type of environment in Zoom. So thank you, Representative Ekman. Members of the committee, any other questions? Seeing none, thank you, everyone, and the meeting is adjourned.